Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for a daily editorial. I wanted to make a couple of comments. We're going to be doing the show with some of the guests that I had on it regularly in the past. We're going to certainly include David Horowitz. I like David a lot. He's a really good guy. We're going to include a guy by the name of Dr. Timothy Phillips. Very good guy, a clinical psychologist, has just written a book entitled The Christ Cure. Both Jimmy and I have read that book. I am very impressed with it. And we're also going to include Dan Pacini and back with Jeff Dice. So you get a little bit of variation from now on, starting certainly this week. We've got a couple of guys scheduled already for the week. I think what we're going to do in talking with Jim about this, we're going to continue with our daily editorials the old-fashioned way with just Jim and I. And then on the weekend radio, we will include guests as I did in the past. Like to get some opinions on this. We got some great opinions on the weekend show. I spent some time Saturday going over all of them, and I appreciate you guys coming back in and being as active as you are. Jim, let's talk a little bit about the approval ratings of Biden. They are just about going through the cement floor. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It's interesting to look at the numbers go down. I mean, they've been pretty low, but they continue to decline. Right now, overall, he's just hovering around a 40% approval rating, and that means about 75%, according to recent polls, 75% of Democrats still support him, about 5% of Republicans, and somewhere around maybe 30%, 35% of independents support him. So those are pretty dismal numbers. But at the same time, what difference do the polls make when you're trying to manipulate the outcome of the election through law enforcement and cheating through the ballot box?
Yeah. I got to tell you, man, I just could not agree with you more on that one. I think it'll be very interesting in 04, but I say that virtually every time you and I get on this subject. It would appear to me that the Dems aren't going to change really much of anything, that they're going to rock and roll with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Terrible mistake, in my opinion.
Well, terrible mistake for the country, and it's terrible mistake for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I agree.
If they didn't think they controlled the outcome already.
Yeah.
And they believe they control the outcome. I don't know if that's going to be possible because the dissatisfaction is going to be so low for him.
Yeah.
His leadership, his 4-year term is not going to get better in the next 2 years.
No.
He has done such a bad job. We haven't even seen the ramifications of the bad policies that he's put in place. And so it's not going to get better in the next 2 years. I don't know how he thinks he's going to make it.
I don't know either. I just, we talked about that a little bit on the weekend show. I just don't understand. I mean, the man sitting in the Oval Office is truly incompetent in our opinion.
Well, the one thing I will say that I said this long before the primaries in 2020, that it would be impossible for him to win, but he did.
Yep.
And that's because, there's some real shenanigans going on behind the scenes. And of course, that really goes right back to law enforcement, the FBI, the DOJ, and all the media and DNC that are working together in order to keep the basically level of control that they've got in DC away from the people.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. Oh, certainly sad. Everything we've been talking about for the last few years, in my opinion, is very sad. And the additional guests that we have been getting on the show certainly collaborate that. Jimmy and I are both getting the Kiplinger letter right now. And the thing I like about Kiplinger is it's a pretty sophisticated economic newsletter. And the economic forecasts are really, really, in my opinion, thought-provoking to take a look at. Let's take GDP growth, for example. Their latest forecast is a growth of 1.3%, and that is for the next quarter. Pretty interesting. I think I've been reading Kiplinger for a long time, and I think they're pretty accurate in what they're saying. Any comments, Jimmy?
I think a lot of people expected about a 2% growth in the last quarter, and it turned out to be 1.1. So if you're expecting a 1.1, I would say it'd be pretty close to zero, likely. And I think that has to do with a lot of factors. The inflation's continuing to have an impact on buyers, consumers. There's still, some of the smarter car companies have not been putting a lot of inventory in. Toyota and Honda have been, they've still got low inventory, and I think they're playing it wisely. Some of the others right now, some of the other big automakers actually have an overage because they're not selling. And I think that's going to have an impact. Of course, interest rates and housing is going to have a huge impact on this next quarter, these numbers, because people, they just can't afford to go from a 2.2, 2.5 to 3 point home mortgage to a 6.5 or 6.9, which is where it's averaging out about now. So that's going to slow the economy. Purchasing, people are just, nervous about things. There's a very low confidence level in economic growth, and I think that's going to have an impact. So I don't believe that there's going to be much growth at all in the next quarter or the next couple of quarters.
No. What do you think about the inflation rates? They are predicting 3.6% at the end of this year. I don't know. It just seems to me with the national debt, which we need to talk about a little bit today, 3.6% interest is really not even close to being feasible.
Yeah, and I don't. I think there's way too many factors right now, and like we haven't even seen the full impact of what's going to happen over the next year. Certainly, with the banking crisis, there's still a number of banks. Even Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, has come out and said, "Hey, look, more banks are probably going to have to be sucked up by the big banks." So we don't know the impact of these issues. So the speculation from anybody right now, I think, is just, blowing in the wind. I don't think there's any real accurate number on inflation because there's so many factors.
I agree.
What we're going to see with oil and gas, the push towards green energy, this absolutely ridiculous push to zero, net zero emissions in a rapid pace. I don't think that's possible. I think that's going to have a huge impact on inflation and on fuel. And of course, if the economy slows down, you're not having growth. You've got this huge debt ceiling fight right now with between the White House and the Republican-controlled House. Those things could spin out of control very rapidly. And I'm more concerned about literally concerned about the political goals from the Biden administration than I am about the actual economic damage. But it looks to me like the Biden administration thinks that they're somehow going to be successful by blaming the Republicans if they default on the debt, if we don't get a raise in the limit. They're going to hold tight on these expenditures and growing the budget. And I think that's a huge mistake on their part. And I think that's going to have a real big impact on the economy very, very soon.
Well, I got to tell you, in terms of, let's talk about oil. First of all, predictions are that this summer oil is going to be trading between 80 and $85 a barrel. What I would like, am really interested in talking about for just a short time is, because nobody really knows what the answer to this is, the debt ceiling. Absolutely nothing has happened.
Well, they have had some negotiations, but
Oh,
basically,
sure.
when Joe Biden puts Fetterman in charge, one of the key players in the debt negotiations, he's not serious about negotiating. This is ridiculous. The Republicans want to keep spending at 2022 levels. They don't want the increases. Democrats want to pay off their constituents, their basic, you know, corrupt constituencies, and increase a bunch of spending to get more people on the dole. But we don't have the money. I mean, we're just, it's unbelievable what's happening with the debt right now. And they, for some reason, he thinks that he's not going to be able, not going to be able to take responsibility for that. But I'm just saying, this is a political disastrous mistake, because even if the Republicans hold out, we default.
Yeah.
Which I think they're going to probably bow. I think they're probably going to bow down and you know, they'll fold before the Biden administration does, because they're cowards.
Yeah.
But if we do default, and if the Biden administration is successful in if they try to blame it on the Republicans, in the end, most people look at the president, regardless of how much of an impact they have. They look at the president as the one responsible for the economic problems. If we default, people are going to blame Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're going to try to spin it. And I think this is the political angle that the Democrats are trying to use right now. They're going to try to spin it and blame the Republicans.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it will be the White House that gets held responsible for it by most everybody, because that's just the way Americans look at things. They blame the White House for every little problem. And so I think that's a politically disastrous mistake on their part. And honestly, I think at this point, if the Republicans could hold out, they would come out a lot stronger. People would be more confident in them to take action to kind of right this ship. But unfortunately, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Now, you're talking about the Republicans standing firm and not bending on the debt ceiling, raising it. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. I think if they held tight on this, they would come out looking good, and it would be a victory, and people would have more confidence.
Right.
But I just don't think that they've got the courage to do it. There are too many people that bow down to the constituencies, that bow down to the deep state, that bow down to the lobbyists, and are afraid to be painted as the bad guy. And unfortunately, they don't have the guts to stand up and say, you know what, we're trying to do what's right.
Yeah. Gotta agree with you, Jimmy, 100%. I don't think anybody has the guts to stand up right now and do what's right for America other than our guy, Donald Trump.
Yeah, you know, He's playing the long game right now. You know, he's got a couple more people jumping in the race, and it's interesting to see, you know, Tim Scott announcing today formally, and Donald Trump was very polite.
Yeah.
Basically said good luck. Hey, we did well. He complimented on working with him to get through economic opportunity zones with Tim, and that's a big deal. And he said that he hopes that he'll do well, and he's better than Ron DeSantis, or more electable than Ron DeSantis. So that's an interesting angle from Donald Trump. He's being very positive with that.
Yeah.
That will probably not take a lot of polling numbers away from DeSantis, but it will take a few, very unlikely to take any away from Trump, because Trump's base is very locked into them. DeSantis is probably going to have to, you know, put his hat in the ring very soon in the next, you know, couple of weeks. And of course, Mike Pence is in the same boat. None of them are gaining the right types of numbers or right kind of support early on to overcome the advantage that Trump has right now.
I agree with that. He is very, very strong. I think that America right now is at the point where they feel exactly the same way that you do. None of the politicians who are in office right now really seem to have the guts to do much of anything. I don't think they're working on business fundamentals, I think they're working on their own game personally.
Well, and I think, they are maneuvering for their own advantages, but a big part of it, and a big part of like Ron DeSantis' campaign, a big part of Mike Pence's campaign, Nikki Haley's campaign, are big Republican globalist funders that are going to them. They don't like Donald Trump, and they're saying, I'm going to give you money if you run against him. And they're kind of brushing up their ego. They're kind of lifting these, you know, candidates' egos to convince them they can do something. And unfortunately, it's out of political interest and financial interest for those globalist ideologues. I read this weekend, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but apparently there was a meeting where Fox News, Rupert Murdoch had told Ron DeSantis' team, if not Ron DeSantis personally, that Fox News would support his candidacy.
Yeah, of course they would.
And of course, and this is what the type of thing we're seeing from people with a globalist agenda that really, really dislike Donald Trump. Not a lot of it is they buy into the whole media, fabricated media personality issue that they've accused Trump of being, and he's kind of supported that with his ego. Yeah. But a lot of it is, look, it's about finance, it's about money, it's about power. And they are very afraid to lose their power. And that's why they're doing whatever they can to buy off politicians in order to appease them and allow the deep state to continue down the same route that it's going, which is really undermining long-term economic prosperity, long-term stability, long-term security for the United States.
Yeah.
So I don't have much respect for them, and I don't have respect for the people that are stepping into this because they're being manipulated by big, powerful PACs.
Agree 100%. I hope that people take a listen to what we're talking about. I hope that people take a read of what our bloggers are talking about, because the more I think about it, the more I think, Jimmy, that at this particular site, we have the only common sense ideas that are out there.
Yeah, I was out in California this weekend. It was very disturbing, actually. There's a couple of points I wanted to make. One was I was in San Francisco Airport last Wednesday on arrival and then departed on Saturday afternoon. I grew up in the area.
Yeah.
I flew in and out of San Francisco many, many, many hundreds of times over the years. It was one of the busiest airports in the world
right.
for a long time. It was practically empty on a Saturday afternoon and on a Wednesday evening business time. I was stunned at how empty it was.
Not a lot of business travelers right now.
It's strange, but there was very, very few. And then, so that was one aspect, but also talking to people down there and listening. So my daughter-in-law got her PhD in stem cell research and biology, at UCSF.
Yeah.
One of the premier medical training centers in the world, if not the premier medical training center in the world. And I could not believe at how much the faculty focused on equity, not equality, but on equity, on woke ideology. Chair for the biology department, for the biological sciences department, opened up the ceremony by apologizing and recognizing the Native Americans from the property that they now use from back, hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely insanity.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Why change society totally just to be politically correct, Jim?
And you could tell that some of these people were talking about, these PhDs in medical doctors, premier people in the heads of their fields, the speaker talking about, well, we've got to be diverse, we've got to get all different kinds of ideas, but then completely attacking other views. It was very, very bizarre to me. But what bothered me more than anything else, these are supposed to be the leaders in the medical field in the world, and it was embarrassing how naive and inconsistent their beliefs and thoughts, even in their speeches, were. I was absolutely stunned at that. And, so that was bothersome. But I will say this, talking to a number of people, I wanted to explain, to close this thing out, a number of people in California that, some like DeSantis, some are absolutely hate Republicans, period. But what I was trying to express to them is that 20-30% of the Republican Party are committed to Donald Trump, didn't think he got a fair shake in 2020, knew he was attacked by law enforcement, by the Department of Justice, by the media for his entire time, but he was rather successful in his campaign, and they feel he was ripped off. They also do not trust the system, and now we're seeing numbers with about 62% that don't trust the electoral system because of the corruption that was both in 2020 and 2022, and what we're seeing in Arizona right now, which is clear evidence of fraud.
Yeah.
So those people, like in Georgia for the Senate runoffs after the 2022 election, or the 2020 election, the November election, then the January runoffs, those people will not come out to vote if Donald Trump does not win the primary. If those people do not come out to vote, I don't care what Republican candidate is in, right, in there. If it's DeSantis, if it's Scott, if it's Haley, if it's Pence, they cannot win. And that's what we're facing right now in America, and what many people inside the Rhino Republican Party and the globalist ideologues don't realize, that they will sell us down the road if they continue to try to push these other alternative candidates that they believe. And I think it may be part of a plan, actually, Al. I think they may be doing it because they know that's the case, and they can keep a bumbling idiot puppet in charge, and they can do what they want, make as much money as they want, because they could care less about America and the Constitution anymore.
You know, Jimmy, I totally don't disagree with you. I'd like to cut it here. I'm going to go and attend a basically a news conference about 11 o'clock. I want to be ready for that, and I can report on it again tomorrow. I am in the bastion, for lack of better terms, of liberalism, and it's really interesting for me to see what the other side is doing. I'm known as the guy in here who stands up and complains. Not complains, but gives alternative reasoning.
Well, and that's what we need, and unfortunately...
That's exactly what we need. We need everybody in the U.S. to do that.
Critical thinking.
That's yep. Jim, many thanks, bud.
You take care. Talk to you tomorrow.
Now, time for KER Politics.